You're listening to Geek Fallout Reloaded, the news and discussion podcast for geeks by geeks. And we are a proud member of the Pop Culture Pub Podcast Network. Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to Geek Fallout Reloaded, the news and discussion podcast for geeks by geeks. I'm your host. My name is Chris Lockhart, and joining me is my co-host in crime, Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
Chris, it's going great. Glad to be here for another new episode. I feel like it's been too long for us.
It has, yeah. Yeah, we've been away for a couple weeks just because I've been super busy at work. And then, yeah, other people have been busy, but anyway, we're here this week, and hopefully, going forward, it'll be a little bit less crazy, but, it's hard to say. So, Kev, what's new with you? I haven't talked to you in a few weeks.
No, that's true. I don't want to always do old man weather, but I was so excited to open up windows and doors and just have it be warm enough for a day. And I just opened up every single thing in the house I could. I was so happy. But, that stuffy air feeling.
Yep.
It just gets brutal. And then work... I thought it was urban legend when I was a kid, and I don't know if it was the same for you, but I remember in school, it'd be spring and the heat would be going still in school.
Mm-hmm.
And school officials would say that, it's on some sort of timer controlled by the district and they can't turn on the air conditioning or the fans until like, say, late April or May.
Yeah.
And then they can switch it over. But in the meantime, you have the temperature change and you're sweating and it's uncomfortable. Well, my work is apparently on the same sort of deal.
Yeah.
So we just have like multiple fans going throughout the building to just create some sort of movement of air.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm in a shirt and a tie and, I'm not in like shorts and a t-shirt, or else I could probably be okay. I'm all, buttoned up for the entire day. And some days I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's just, that's contracts and, mm-hmm. All that sort of stuff. That's higher pay grade than most of us.
Yeah, I think we actually had this discussion, I think, the last time we talked.
Did we? Okay, was it going on that long? I apologize.
No. I think we did, because I remember saying, with our school, we didn't really have that problem because our vice principal, I guess, was shown how to do that.
Yes, I do remember that now.
Yep. Yeah, but some schools, yeah, I've heard of that, and it's just because they don't know how to do it. Because somebody, yep. Their maintenance guy for the county or whatever has to come and do it.
Yeah, and I apologize, listeners. Here. Oh, no. This is just one of those situations where it's been my number one complaint for weeks now, and I'm at a point where I've forgotten who I've told the story to.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Here it's a little cooler, but I mean, we got some rain yesterday, which we needed. I guess mm-hmm. There is rain in the forecast this week, so that's a good thing. But yeah, it's starting to green up out there, so yeah, I'm super, super excited. I just want it to be spring. I'm tired of cold and winter. Even though we had a really mild winter comparatively, I still prefer summer or spring and summer. Those are my favorite two seasons. So.
Yeah, I mean, I love my friends, I love my family, but if they could all be somewhere warmer, I'd feel happier.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So, with this being Geek Fallout, we're going to start this episode with our In Memoriam segment. So, he may not be, you know, world famous or anything, but he's famous to me. Because one of the first podcasts I ever listened to was Comic Geek Speak. It's a comic book podcast, which still is going on to this day. It's, you know, they have like over 2,000 episodes. It's crazy. But one of the founding members of Comic Geek Speak, Jamie D, 10 years ago, and I can't believe it's 10 years ago, lost his battle with cancer. It just blows my mind. It's been 10 years that since he passed away. I believe he had breast cancer. I think that's what he had.
Oh.
And you don't really hear that much with men, but it can happen. Unfortunately, you know, he lost his battle. And the reason why I remember is because it was the same year that Captain America Winter Soldier came out, and he saw that before he passed away, because he was a big Captain America fan. At least he got to see that movie, because, you know, it was a great movie. And again, hard to believe it's 10 years, but... next on my list is a man named John Trimble. He passed away April 19th. For those who don't know, John and his wife Bijo were key players in early Star Trek fandom. They were responsible for the original Save Star Trek campaign following season 2 of Star Trek, and organized several early conventions. Him and his wife, when they were going to cancel Star Trek after season 2, started this big letter writing campaign that, you know, flooded Paramount's mailroom, and they kept it around for another season. They helped organize some of the original Star Trek conventions, which is really helped give birth to conventions in general, like, you know, or Comic Cons and stuff like that. You know, like, I mean, there was conventions prior to that, but you know, a few Comic Cons, but I think the Star Trek ones were really the ones that got the ball rolling in terms of conventions as we know them today. But April 19th.
I didn't realize that, and I mean, you're absolutely right. As much as a lot of the Trek stuff became, you know, jokes for mm-hmm. it, for the conventions and the nerdiness of it and everything, you know, speaking as one.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, it had to start somewhere, and that changes fandom in a good way, to just meet up and be around people and support things that you enjoy.
Yep, exactly. And yeah, if it wasn't for him and his wife, you know, there wouldn't have been a third season of Star Trek Next Generation, Star Trek. And who knows if we would have got Star Trek Next Generation and the Star Trek movies and, you know, everything that happened afterwards had it not been. Because, you know, like, syndication was kind of a new thing, but I don't know if Star Trek would have went into syndication if it had only had 2 seasons.
No, because, I mean, like, I know the 3 seasons wasn't 100 episodes, but I feel it's also a little different when it's an hour-long show than a mm-hmm. half-hour-long show, too. But I was going to ask you that, like, if Star Trek only got 2 seasons, I don't think it becomes Star Trek.
No, I don't think so.
I think it becomes this niche thing that some people remember.
And the thing is, like, even if you're not a Star Trek fan, I think it would have affected science fiction fandom for, you know, all around, had Star Trek not become the phenomenon it was. Because, you know, because of Star Trek, you know, certain movie producers, certain movie studios, certain television producers, television studios took chances with science fiction that they wouldn't have done before had Star Trek not proven successful. John Trimble and his wife, you know, being, you know, super fans of the original series, you know, in a way, I think helped shape fandom as we know it today. Like, not just Star Trek, but all around. So, anyway. April 23rd, Terry Carter, who played the original Colonel Ty on the original Battlestar Galactica, passed away. Yeah, so he would have been 96? Yeah. He would have been 96 years old. He's, you know, that's a good run. He was born 1928 and died in 2024. So only four years off from hitting the 100 mark. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But
I knew there was going to be one that you brought up. And nothing against him or anything. It's just not, I hadn't seen the things that he was in.
Yeah, he was in a lot of 60s, 70s television and things like that. Like he hasn't been in anything lately that I am aware of. But he's 96 years old. I'm sure he's been retired for a few years now. But yeah, no, to be honest with you, I didn't even realize he was still around until I saw his passing. Because, yeah, the original Battlestar Galactica was 1978 when it went off the air, so.
And I mean, so many have passed already from it.
Yeah, Richard Hatch, Lauren Green, obviously. And, yeah, a few of the others are gone now, so. But, yeah, Terry Carter, April 23rd. And then on the last one on my list is April 25th, legendary hockey broadcaster Bob Cole, whose voice can be recognized on countless iconic hockey moments, has passed away at the age of 90. So, yeah, if you've ever watched Hockey Night in Canada, basically from the 70s onward, you probably heard him at some point. He retired, I want to say 2016. So he's been retired for a few years, but he's just his voice is just legendary up here in the Great White North. So
now hockey playoffs are going on too right now, right?
Yep.
So was there any sort of tribute moment?
Oh yeah.
Anything?
Yeah. What was it? What game? Actually, I think last night they had a tribute. I think before most of the Canadian team games, they would have a little tribute.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, they've definitely been paying homage to him for sure. Because, like I said, he, you know, was a fixture in Canadian households for many years. Because for many years, Hockey Night in Canada, which was, you know, the Saturday night hockey game, was, you know, the most watched televised event in Canada for years.
There's church.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But yeah, he passed away and he was 90 years old. Kev, did you have any in memoriam?
I did not. I was going through a list from last time that we recorded. I knew the one that you were going to have for sure. And in a way I was kind of glad. I'm like, well, you know, this, we have some that it seems like it's 2 hours of going through all the death.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'm glad that there weren't that many for once.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been almost a month since we've done a Geek Fallout Reloaded. So, you know, it does seem like a lot sometimes, but we don't do it weekly. So if we'd done it weekly, it'd be like one, there'd be some episodes where we wouldn't do any, but
yeah, I do have a topical one, but I can, it's death related. It's impending death related.
Okay. Well,
it's asking you as a Canadian.
All right. Well, let's kick off our news segment and we'll lead off with that, Kev. what is it?
All right. So, it's being reported by many places that England is pretty much ready for Prince Charles's death. Or, sorry, King Charles now of death. Mm. And I didn't realize that the plans that are set, and that's, I posted that on my Facebook, that was from Flash to Bang, was one of the most interesting phrases I've seen in a while. Hmm. And what it means is, from the moment he dies to the moment we have the funeral, how much time do we have from Flash to Bang? From here's the start of this thing, here's the end. And they said for Queen Elizabeth, they had less than 2 weeks of she died, here's the funeral, here's all the things that need to be done and set and put in place.
Mm-hmm.
Clock starting now. And for Charles, they have a similar plan. One of the things I didn't realize as well is these plans, the code names for them, are after known bridges in England mm-hmm. and in the UK. So the plan for Queen Elizabeth's funeral was Operation London Bridge.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of fascinating. So I was talking with my kid about some of it, and he was just like, well, what countries would go? I said, well, you kind of just, it's paying tribute to a country you're friends with, or you're aligned with, or whatever. I said,
yep.
No matter what countries go. And then he said, well, what about Canada? What about Australia? Pretty much asking, like, all right, countries that still have the queen on their money,
mm-hmm.
what would be the alliance? But I mean, like, there's no, so I think it's my ignorance for not remembering, like, for Queen Elizabeth dying, I don't believe, like, was there anything in Canada, like, moment of silence, or it just kind of depended on how closely people followed the royal family, and some people didn't care, and some people were actually upset about it? Did it feel like a moment for a country, or not really?
No, I would say it did. Like, maybe not with the younger generation, but I would say, like, even my generation, I think it was, it, you know, we were sad because the Queen's always been a part of our lives. Definitely for my mom's generation. And I think for the generation ahead of her that may have remembered her being crowned, you know.
Yeah.
That might have been a, you know, especially poignant for them. I know if you were an employee of the Government of Canada, I think you got a paid day off for her funeral.
Okay.
But like for, you know, us commoners, we didn't get that. But you know, definitely all the government buildings, even where I work, because we're owned by the provincial government. We had to lower our flags for her.
Okay.
And yeah, for, you know, I think, like I say, a certain generation, it was, you know, a big thing, right? For Charles, I don't think it's going to be as big of a thing because his reign will be a lot shorter, and it was always going to be shorter, you know, because his mom held the crown since she was like 25. So yeah, and he was like what, 74, I think, when he became king.
I don't think there's ever gonna be a reign like that.
Yeah. And like we still haven't changed over everything yet. Like for example, like our provincial justice system for, you know, since she became queen, has been known as the Queen's Court, right? So when she died, they actually changed it right away to the King's Court because Charles was going to be the king. And that's what it had been known for years as the King's Court, right? Before the Queen took the crown. So that was a big change. So all the Queen's Court documentation, All that's going to be changed over to the King's Court eventually. And I think Charles is just, like, they're going to be starting getting money with his picture on it in circulation. But I think that's just starting, like recently. Like, I don't think it's out yet. So it's going to take time. But...
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I know, like when the Queen died, a bunch of Commonwealth countries wanted to leave the Commonwealth, and some of them did, because it was really, they were staying for the Queen, but, like, Canada's gonna, I'm sure, remain part of the Commonwealth, and probably Australia, and...
Yeah.
You know, I forget how, like, there's over 100 countries that are part of the Commonwealth. So there's a lot of people out there that, you know, like, that's their monarch, right? But definitely I don't, like, it's just my opinion, but I kind of feel like the people in the Commonwealth aren't as loyal to Charles. You know, I think, honestly, I think it still stems with the Princess Di situation. You know, there's a lot of people, like my mom's generation and older, that can't get past that. What, you know?
No, they're still upset about it, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, that, like, for years, that was, like, a taboo thing, right? Like, you couldn't be a divorcee and be the king. Like, that's why the queen came into power in the first place, because her uncle had to abdicate the throne, so he could be with a divorced woman, because that wasn't allowed. And she was a commoner. So that's why, you know, Queen Elizabeth's dad took the throne, and then he ultimately died, and then she took the throne. So for Charles to have done that, like, I mean, if this had been, you know, the 50s, Charles probably wouldn't be king right now.
So, no, true.
But times change, and you know, the Queen kind of changed the rules a little bit, being the head of the Church of England, so. Which is, I mean, you got to change with the times, so, you know, like, so I'm all for that, too, but. But yeah, no, I think a lot of people, you know, are looking forward to having William as king, because he's, you know, a young guy, and he's well-liked, you know, people love him, and. You know, loved his mom very much, so. And they love Kate, so, you know. And I know she's going through some health issues right now, so fingers crossed, you know, she gets better. But yeah, no, it's just too bad that Charles waited, you know. I think he's been the longest monarch in waiting in history. I think that's what, like, because the Queen had the longest reign in history. But her successor would have had the longest wait in history, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, yeah. To, you know, wait all that time, and then, you know, unfortunately, he might pass away. Like, you know, I hope he doesn't. Like, I hope he, you know, lives as long as his mom. I got nothing against the guy. I think he's all right.
No, but, I'm not wishing ill on anyone.
No. I'm just saying, like, the whole... you know, Princess Di, that whole thing. I don't hold that against him. It is what it is. You know, having, you know, being a married guy, like, I get it. You know, like, sometimes marriages don't work. And theirs did.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, geez, you know, for waiting on things, I mean, we're still waiting on Jimmy Carter.
Yeah,
been in the hospice almost a year.
Yeah. Yeah, and his wife just passed not too long ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was kind of, you know, usually, like, because they were so close, I figured he would be not long after her, but.
Oh, I was sure she was going to be, like, that they were going to be one of those couples, yeah.
Yeah.
Where one passes shortly after the other.
Yeah. Anywho.
not to bring it all down. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I answer your question, or did I?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. So for my first news bit here, April 15th, the Onset Armor of the Rust movie, where Alina Hutchinson was killed, and I think the director was also hurt. She's going to jail. 18 months behind bars is what the armor is going to get. And then I think they're still going to take Alec Baldwin to court over this. So he may be sentenced yet. So for those who don't know, they're filming this Western. And one of, I want to say she was a cinematographer, Alina Hutchinson. So they're doing this Western. Alec Baldwin had this gun. It went off, and it had a real bullet in it. And Alina Hutchinson, which I think, like I said, was the cinematographer, was shot and killed. And I believe the bullet might have went through her and got the director, too, and hurt him.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Wounded the second person, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it was found out after the fact that the armor on the set was actually had permitted live rounds brought onto set because she was letting people fire the guns with real bullets in it instead of blanks. And then she kind of screwed up and got the real bullets mixed in with the blanks. So there was a real bullet in Alec Baldwin's gun when it went off, and that's what happened. No doubt, the armor was remorseful, and I know she was crying and stuff, and she didn't want to get thrown in jail, but, you know, I'm sorry. It's a workplace incident, and
yeah. When
you're negligent in your job, people go to jail. It doesn't matter if you're an armorer on the set, doesn't matter if you're a supervisor at an industrial plant, if you do something that is negligent that results in death or injury you could be going to jail. You know, like that's the way it works, you know. And she was supposed to be looking after these weapons. She was supposed to make sure there was no live rounds. She was supposed to check that there were blanks in the gun. And I think Alec Baldwin, I think they're going after him for being negligent, because I think he would just fire off his gun. Like, I don't know, I hear stories, but from what I heard, I believe he was known to, like, just fire off his gun, like, just for fun. But normally that wouldn't be an issue, because they're supposed to be blanks. But, you know, he says that it went off by accident. People are saying he shot it on purpose, but I don't know.
The rumors, the story, whatever. And I mean, you know, for anyone listening, obviously Chris and I are connected to Hollywood.
No,
but I believe the rumors when it happened were that they were cutting costs because Alec Baldwin was the producer. They were cutting costs to save money on the production. I believe that the meeting in which the gun went off was they were kind of like blocking out and figuring out how they were going to film this gun shooting, whatever part of the plot the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So they're figuring out like blocking and who stands where and stuff like that. And it went off then. I do believe it's a complete accident.
Yeah.
But I also believe it's an accident that could have been prevented.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think they cut costs and the safety was not what it should have been on set. I think that, and I'm not a gun person. I'm not anti-gun. I'm just not a gun person.
Mm-hmm.
But even as not a gun person, I'm aware you treat every gun as if it is loaded.
Yep.
You don't point it at people. You are careful about things. Like there are certain safety protocols that you should follow to prevent anything like this accidentally happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is also, granted, this happened 2023, but 2024, there is no need to have a real gun on a pretend set.
Yeah.
CGI, special effects, whatever. There's no reason to have a real gun on a set.
Yeah.
You could 3D print something that looks like a gun, looks exactly like a real gun, for the actors to hold. And then you just CGI a smoke and a recoil. And you can do whatever else for it. You do not need anything that actually fires something on a set.
Yep.
Now, and I'm just, it could have been prevented. Now she got 18 months. I'm not saying that's fun or great or anything. There had to be punishment, I mm-hmm. absolutely think. And I also kind of think she's going to be in a Hollywood jail.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be. Yeah, it's going to be easy.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's still going to suck, yes, but I don't feel like it's going to be, you know, her and a bunch of serial killers and,
yeah.
you know.
It's not going to be our, you know, it's not going to be Oz, like the HBO yeah. series. Exactly. Yeah, I actually heard, you know, going off quick tangent.
I know the tangent. Keep going.
Well, you won't know this one exactly, but you'll probably have heard something very similar to it. Because there was a local person that was convicted of sexual interference with somebody, with, you know, obviously with a minor. Anyway, I know this person's in jail now. But I've also been told by people that know, like, his jail is, he gets his own cell, he gets his own TV in his cell with satellite, and he can read and do whatever. Like, it's not that bad. It almost sounds like, you know, staying in a hotel. Like, I hate to say it, but, you know, like, yeah, there's bars, yeah. You know, you still got to take a poop, you know, and someone could walk up to the bars and see you taking a poop. You got to take a poop where, you know, in your cell. But other than that, I don't think it's that bad. You know, especially for, like, his crime. Like, I was figuring, you know, like, in my mind, I was thinking he was going to go someplace where, you know, like, you hear the stories about, oh, you know, like, you know, they like child molesters in this jail because they, you know, they give it back to them, but that's not the situation he's in at all. Like he's, you know, I mean, he might, you know, like he might be, there's more charges coming from what I've read, and heard. So he may get upgraded to one of those jails, but for now it's not that bad. Which I don't agree with, you know, like I think it should be, people should fear jail, you know, like people, you know, like that is a deterrent to not commit crimes, you know, but if people don't fear jail, if it's just going to be, you know, like a hotel stay that you can't actually leave, you know, people are like, eh, whatever, I'll roll the dice. And that's the wrong message to send to people. You know, like there's countries that I've heard of that if you get caught stealing, they chop your hands off. I almost think we should be doing that. That would definitely deter theft if you knew, well, I could lose my hands. And I really like my hands. I don't want to lose them, so maybe I won't steal. I don't know. I hate to get political, but anyway, that's my tangent. Oh, but go ahead, Kev, if you had something to add.
I was completely wrong about the tangent.
Okay.
Well, because you mentioned it's not going to be like Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a Oz mini movie came out that some of the actors and director filmed a couple of years ago. And it just within the last couple of weeks got put somewhere online. And they're like, we were all around. We just kind of filmed this thing for fun. But if people have interests, let HBO know, because we're willing to do more. I'm like, well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
kind of revisit it, how, you know, however many years it's been since the show went off the air.
Yeah, it's been a few years. Like, I've only seen a handful of episodes. It wasn't a show that I really got into, but it had some good actors. And
it had great actors on it, yeah.
And there was some, you know, like, I've seen clips and stuff, but, yeah, some really good actors came out of that. But, I mean, that's, when did that start? 96? It was before The Sopranos.
It was absolutely before that, and,
because Edie Falco was in it. She was one of the, female guards.
Yeah, well, Chris Maloney from SVU was on it.
Right. And J.K. Simmons, but he was doing Law and Order at the same time. But yeah, J.K. Simmons was in there. Man, he's a great actor. I love that guy.
But I think that was like it was absolutely a show where, I mean, mostly male actors, honestly, because of the concept of the show.
Yeah.
But you had a lot of people there like, I'll do a couple episodes just to flex my acting muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, they would have a blast. Like, all right, I'll go on. I'll be on one or two episodes. My character will die, but I'll have a lot of fun while I'm there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to watch it again, but I was watching it at the perfect time of, I mean, I can't do the math off the top of my head, but, like, let's say late teens, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're looking for, like, dark stuff and, you know, oh, my God, this is so intense and so graphic and so, quote, real and all. And I don't know how it would hold up now at all, but I remember just thinking it was the most intense thing I'd ever watched in my life at the time.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it definitely was, for sure. But, anywho, all right, so moving on, April 19th, it was announced that this is a show that I talk a lot about. And it's For All Mankind. It's Apple Plus's alternate history TV series. Not only has it been renewed for a fifth season, but Apple has also announced a spinoff series called Star City, which will go back to the events of season one and tell an entirely new story from a different perspective. So obviously, with it being Star City, we're going to get the Russian perspective of this alternate history. Because that's what they call their Cape Canaveral. They call it Star City. So yeah, I, you know, being a fan of For All Mankind, I love that show, and I definitely would love to see the Russian perspective on this alternate history. Because in this alternate history, the Russians landed on the moon first. So, you know, I'm kind of interested to see where they're going to take it. And in this show, the Soviet Union never fell. So even though, like, the last season took place, I want to say from 2003 to 2006 or something, the KGB, the Soviet Union, that's all there. So
it's on Apple?
It's on Apple Plus, yeah. And honestly, like, one of my coworkers, Because he comes to me quite a bit, and he's asking me, you know, what show should I watch? What, you know, you got any suggestions? I told him about this, and he was hemming and hawing because he didn't want to pay for another subscription. I'm like, dude, it's worth it. There's other good shows on Apple Plus, but this is by far my favorite. And also, like, the Foundation series takes place on Apple Plus, and they've done some other shows. So he watched it, and yeah, he got it, and he binged the whole series in, like, a week. He was just, he really liked it. He didn't like Foundation as much, but he liked For All Mankind. But anyway, yeah. April 25th, Larry Dalrymple, a seldom heard from but never present character, in The Simpsons, was killed in the latest episode. Fans will recognize him as one of the regulars of Moe's Tavern, where he could almost always be seen drinking in the background. So, yeah, Larry Dalrymple. Dalrymple? So, yeah, that character passed away. Yeah, so, it's funny, because when I seen the article initially, they had a picture of Barney on there. you know, beloved or Simpsons character killed off. I was like, holy crap, they killed off Barney. And I thought maybe, you know, it could be like he died from, you know, being an alcoholic. Because he was on the wagon for a while, and then they had him fall off the wagon. Now he's been a drunk again for several seasons. But, I mean, I don't really watch The Simpsons, so I can't, you know, like I haven't really watched The Simpsons regularly since the early 2000s. I watched a little bit after, like, when the movie came out. I watched, like, a few episodes after that, but I thought, yeah, they were going to kill off Barney, but then it's, yeah, this other guy that's always hanging out at Moe's. So, Kev, what are your thoughts on this guy?
I saw it the next day, too, and I'm like, well, what the heck? And I don't know for sure if it's true or not, but I think one of the, and I didn't watch the episode. I'm curious, but I haven't sat down to watch it yet. But it sounds like one of the points behind the story was for people as you get older, especially men,
mm-hmm.
how well do you actually know the people you spend time with?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is, here's the rest of the guys from Moe's, and they're like, well, we knew nothing about him. We drank with him every night. We saw him all the time.
Yeah.
But we don't actually know him at all. But we have all this time that we spent together, you know, in the bar, but it's mm-hmm. talking about, you know, the game or whatever. He's just listening. It's like, okay, but we need to pay tribute to him, but he's a stranger still in a way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's an interesting idea there.
Mm-hmm.
So I am curious. I want to see it. The funny thing is, mentioned for watching Simpsons, my kid's been asking about some stuff for Simpsons. We've been playing some clips and all. And I'm like, 10 is probably a really good age to start getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like you're not going to get everything, but you're going to get a lot of it. You know, you're going to enjoy it. So we've done like some clips here and there.
Yeah.
And for me, I think Simpsons is like Saturday Night Live. You respect what came before you started watching it.
Mm-hmm.
The period of time you watched it is your favorite and is the best. And then you trail off and you might pop in here and there over the years, but it's never as good as it was when you discovered it.
Yeah.
And it's been around like 30 years now, so you got generations for it. I love the original episodes.
Yep.
You know, there's stuff I still quote to this day, but I'll look, I'm like, God, well, okay. Coincidentally, last night, my kid was playing video game and I'm just flipping through on the TV. I was like, what the heck is that? I didn't want to actually get into anything. Because he would say, oh, Dad, check this out. Check that. You know, like he wanted me to pay attention to stuff for the game, too. But while he's in the middle of, you know, messing around with designing the character or other stuff, I'm like, well, let me just have something else on. And I turn on Flintstones. As I'm flipping through, I'm like, oh, geez, I think I remember seeing this episode when I was a kid. And I'm watching it and I thought, all right, the story holds up. There's stuff funny here. But geez, the animation style, like you can see where they animated Fred's body on one cell, but his head's on another one, and the skin color doesn't match up at all.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I mean, geez, that's the way that the TVs were when this came out. No one would have ever seen that. No one would have known that it didn't line up or look perfect. But then I watch, you know, the first couple of seasons of Simpsons, I'm like, oh, God, it's still funny. I'm losing it. This is my childhood. But man, it doesn't look good compared to, you know, what looks like now. And I mm-hmm. think the movie was that big moment. When that movie came out, you're like, oh my God, Simpsons can look like this?
Yep.
And then, you know, going from like the 8x10 or whatever screen to high definition and our widescreen stuff, you saw a big change in all of it too. They got to do things like, all right, they killed off a character that spoke maybe 20 words in 30 years. It's not a big deal. You know, it's just, and the articles are just to get articles out there for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, at this point, the Fox animated shows, because I'll throw Family Guy and Bob's Burgers in there as well, because they've been around for a long time now, too.
Yep.
It just feels like no one at Fox cares. No one's paying attention to the shows. It's just guaranteed, here's Sunday night animation. We don't have to worry about anything. People will watch. Enough people will watch to justify our ads on there.
Yeah.
But they don't actually care or pay attention to it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel. Like, yeah, I haven't watched Family Guy in years. I've never watched Bob's Burgers. Never.
Really? That's actually what it started out as, which seemed like kind of doing your Family Guy humor.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt forced. And as they slowly morphed into a odd family, but a family show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just never got into that. But anyway, yeah. Simpsons. Yeah, like I said, after the movie, I watched a little bit because they upgraded it. They changed the opening credits. They made it. You know, I definitely like the style of animation that the Simpsons do. Actually, probably the last thing I watched was when the Simpsons and Family Guy had their crossover.
Yep, I do remember watching that too, yeah.
Which I actually thought was really good. I actually thought that was quite funny. Because I really, you know, I got all the inside jokes and everything they were throwing out there, you know, based on what I've watched from both shows. But other than that, yeah, you know, unless I'm somewhere where it's, you know, I guess because I don't watch cable TV anymore. Like, it used to be, like, The Simpsons were on all the time. Like, it was syndicated, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of, in my early 20s, I used to watch a lot of Simpsons reruns on, like, a Saturday afternoon if I was, like, nursing a hangover. Like, if I went out partying, I'd go out partying Friday night, and then Global would show reruns of The Simpsons Saturday afternoons, and I would just put them on and just watch them while I'm laying on the couch, trying not to die to my, you know, self-inflicted 26-ounce flu. But other than that, yeah, I don't really watch. My kids never really got into it that much, you know. And now everything's streaming, and, like, I know Simpsons, I can watch it on Disney Plus if I wanted to, but I just, you know, I got other stuff to watch. But
I mean, geez, there's so much to watch, too.
Yeah, there is. That's why I like why I kind of gravitate towards Rick and Morty, because they only do like 10 episodes a season, and then they're off the air for like a year and a half, sometimes 2 years. And, like, that gives me plenty of time to watch those 10 episodes, and then I'm done. You know, I don't have to go back. Whereas I think The Simpsons is still on that old TV, you know, 25-episode season thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, it's overwhelming. It's too much.
I think, all right, so I don't know if you were going to bring it up, but Jerry Seinfeld had interviews this week. And one of the things he said is because of the reason why there aren't sitcoms on your network TVs is because leftist woke people have killed sitcoms.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else is like, well, people don't watch TV the same. So yep. Committing to 24 episodes of a sitcom when half of those episodes aren't going to be funny is not the way people watch TV anymore. Your streaming services have changed it for how, you know, sitcoms are. Your cable channels have changed it too.
Yep.
But they're like, if Jerry Seinfeld thinks that, if NBC said, hey, we will give you X amount of money per episode, guess what? There'd be a sitcom tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that none of the channels are going to do it. It's that TV tastes have changed and they don't want to pay the money either. Yep. Like, a lot of those shows, like, it's really looking like the reason they canceled Young Sheldon is because they didn't want to have to pay everyone the pay raise for another season. That definitely happened with Modern Family, where they're like, oh my God, we're going to have to pay them so much if we do another season here. Let's just end the show.
Well, the thing with Young Sheldon, and, like, it's ironic you brought it up, because my wife and I just started watching Young Sheldon. Like, I had been watching clips, like, on Facebook and YouTube, and, you know, I always get a kick out of it. And anyway, I was showing my wife this clip on YouTube, and she's like, why don't we just watch the show? And I'm like, yeah. So it's on Netflix in Canada, so we're currently on episode 7 of season 1. But one thing I could see why they would want to cancel Young Sheldon the way it is right now is that kid hit puberty, and he hit puberty fast. Like, he's yeah, like, he's probably almost, I would say he's almost as tall as Jim Parsons at this point.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of hard to buy that he's a younger version of Sheldon when he's, like, going to be the same size as Sheldon here, like, yeah, if he's not already. So I think that's part of the reason why they're doing it. And I was actually going to bring this up as well. So, yeah, we'll segue into talking about Young Sheldon here, because there's a spinoff series that they're doing.
Yeah, a spinoff.
Yeah, because the last season and then this season, there's been a lot of focus on his brother and the fact that he, you know, met this older woman, got her pregnant. He was 17, she's 29. It's Emily Osment. I think she was on Hannah Montana, I think, back in the day. I think that's how she's famous. But anyway, they're giving them a spinoff because they brought her parents into the show. There's a lot of scenes that don't even involve Sheldon at this point. It's just the brother and what's going on there. So they're giving them a spinoff. But from what I understand, they're doing it in a sitcom format. So Young Sheldon is not a sitcom format. It's
right. It's a sitcom, but it doesn't have that standard.
Yeah, it doesn't
you
have.
Know, you flow from the living room into the kitchen, and that's your set.
Yeah, like they, it's not, you know, it's not filmed like a sitcom. It doesn't have live studio audience, doesn't have laugh track, all of that. So to me, it's kind of weird that they're going to spin off these characters, but it's going to be done in a sitcom sort of way. I find that jarring, because I realized that The Big Bang Theory was a sitcom, but Young Sheldon felt different because it takes place before that.
Okay. So,
and there's, you know, a lot of the characters in Young Sheldon at one point or another have appeared in Big Bang Theory. Like, Laurie Metcalf played his mom in Big Bang Theory. Her daughter plays her character in Young Sheldon. I want to... what's her name now? I want to say Kathy Bates played her in The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, she did.
And now Annie Potts plays her in the prequel. So, you know, like, I'm having a hard time buying that these are the same characters, but because it's a prequel, you know, really the only bridge between the two shows is the fact that Jim Parsons is the narrator on Young Sheldon. Like, that's it. Like, it doesn't really feel like it's, even though it's a prequel, it feels like it's his own thing to me. Whereas if they switch these characters from this property into a sitcom, I think, like, I just think it's a weird decision to make. Like, why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you film it in the same way Young Sheldon's being filmed? But anyway, to me, you know, it's kind of like if you were to take, like, The Next Generation and do a half hour comedy with them in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it wouldn't work. Which is what they were actually trying to do in the early 90s. They were going to give Lwaxana Troy her own spinoff where it would be like a sitcom comedy. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad they never tried that, because that would have been a disaster. And I think Paramount knew that. That's why they didn't go with it. But that was something that Gene Roddenberry was kind of pushing toward, you know, before he passed away, that he really wanted them to do. But when he passed away, they're like, nope, not happening. And I'm so glad that they made that decision, because that would have been terrible. But anyway, Kev, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
I have never, like, I've seen a couple episodes of Young Sheldon, but I really just could not do it. There's, for my kid being on the spectrum, there's just certain things I didn't like for what I've seen for Young Sheldon. I was just like, all right, it's not for me. I don't have to, you know, nothing says I have to watch this.
Yeah.
And I finally ended up watching all of Big Bang Theory, and it was a lot of hate watching in the last few seasons, but I was just thinking, I've come this far.
Yeah.
I'm going to see this through. So, I mean, I have zero interest in watching this spinoff for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like something that... It sounds like a show that they know people will tune into, because it's lazy TV watching and people aren't going to look for something else.
Yeah.
So what I mean is, there was a quote, whoever was in charge of NBC at the time to do this again, but they said, I can put static on NBC at 8:30 in between Friends at 8 and Seinfeld at 9, and it'll be a top 10 show, because people won't bother to turn the channel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, that's sad, but he's absolutely right. So, and, you know, this is our movie things of, like, why don't people make new original content? Because something familiar makes more money. That's why. So I feel like, oh, we're ending this show tied to another huge show, which Big Bang Theory, like American TV ratings, repeats of Big Bang Theory are in the top 10 cable shows every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a repeat that's been on thousands of times already, and it's still in the top 10 above brand new stuff every week. So it's like, oh, well, that's just money for it. And honestly, if I was, you know, whoever owns the show, and, you know, this cable channel or this, you know, network channel in any country wants Big Bang Theory, hey, we'll package Young Sheldon and the spinoff show, too. You get all this content you can air. Of course, you're going to charge more.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel it's not going to win awards. It's not going to have, you know, great acting on it or anything. It's going to just be there and be familiar. I get it. Like, financially, I get it. Like, these, you know, companies are there to make money and make a profit, not necessarily to make art.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it, but I'll just, you know, move on to something else that I think has, you know, better. Maybe I'll sit down and watch For All Mankind instead of this show.
Yeah. Well, one thing I will say, there's a couple things. Because like I said, I've been watching a lot of clips of Young Sheldon. So I have an idea what happened last season. I have an idea what's happening this season as it's currently airing. The spinoff that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be based on his brother, his new wife and their baby. And then I think her parents are going to be part of it. Their scenes in these last couple seasons are some of the best scenes, because it's absolutely hilarious. Like, it's really funny. So I definitely, like, there's definitely potential there for sure. And plus, like, they cast Will Sasso as her dad. For those who don't know, he was on Mad TV back in the day. He's just one of those guys that's been on a lot of different things, but really, he's a funny guy. So I, you know, like, I definitely, like, I'm okay with a spinoff, because, like I said, you know, their scenes and stuff were actually quite funny. But I, like, doing it in a sitcom style, I just would think is jarring. I wish they would just do it in the Young Sheldon way of doing it. That and now, also and just real quick, I because you were saying you were watching Big Bang Theory and you hate watched it there. I gave up Big Bang Theory. I don't even know what season it would have been in because it just got kind of old for me. You know, like I really feel like these guys wouldn't be as clueless as they're being portrayed with as smart as they are. Like geeks are losers comedy trope kind of wore thin on me real quick. Whereas Young Sheldon, like I find it way funnier. Like I'm laughing way more watching Young Sheldon than I did watching Big Bang Theory. And there's no laugh track. There's no live studio audience so there's no cues for you to laugh. Because sometimes when you watch a sitcom, you'll laugh, but you're just laughing because the TV's laughing. Like the audience is laughing. So you kind of chuckle along too, but it's actually not that funny. To watch Young Sheldon, if you're laughing, it's coming from a genuine place. Whereas I feel sitcoms, sometimes they don't. Like you're just responding to what the audience... Or the laugh, if they're not even using an audience. It could be just a laugh track. But yeah, I don't know. I gave up on Big Bang Theory, but Young Sheldon I actually quite like. I actually find it quite hilarious. And also poignant. One of the things, I know Sheldon's dad is dead by the time the Big Bang Theory comes around. So watching him in this show, it makes me sad knowing he's not going to make it. You know, like at some point, he might not die during, you know, Young Sheldon, but he is going to die at some point before the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And there was one episode, I actually just watched it tonight, where the episode ends, they went on a trip, they were going to go to a shuttle launch. But it got rained out, so they had to turn around, come back, and he said, it was his favorite trip with his dad. And this is Jim Parsons narrating the end of the episode. He says, you know, that was my favorite trip with my dad. I just wish I had told him that before he died. And then that's the way the episode ends. I'm like, oh, man. You get caught up in the show, and it's like, oh, man, you know, like, his dad is gonna die, you know? Even though it's a fictional character and all that kind of stuff, you get connected to them. The guy who plays his dad's awesome. But anyway. Kev, did you have anything to add?
Well, haven't there been theories that they're going to do a death episode? Like a lot of people think from stuff they've seen on set or whatever that the death episode's coming.
I think there would have been because he's had a couple heart attacks on the show. But he survived them. And I know that's what kills him in the end. So I think, when they film these episodes, that's probably where the rumors come from. But, you know, he always comes out of it okay. So, but I pretty, I don't know. I don't know what the last episode's going to be like, but maybe, maybe he passes in the final episode.
Oh, they can't kill him on the last episode. That'd be awful to do.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Maybe he dies on the spinoff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming the spinoff, from what what I suspect is that they're going to move away. Like, the brother and his wife, and they're going to move someplace else. And then maybe because, on the Big Bang Theory... The episode with Jerry O'Connell, because he plays the brother on that show. He said, he had to take care of his mom and stuff after their dad died. So I'm thinking on the spinoff, he's going to move away, and then maybe that's how the spinoff ends, is his dad dies, so he has to move back home to take care of his mom and stuff. And maybe, because we know, and that's another crappy thing, is I really like those two as a couple. On Young Sheldon, Georgie, the brother, and Emily Osment's character. But they end up divorced at some point. They're divorced before the Big Bang Theory, so it's like, ah, man. But I mean that's the way life goes, though. Like sometimes you see these couples. I've seen this in my own life. Like, you know, I had I can't say names, but this couple in my life that 20 years ago, like if you had asked me 20 years ago, I would say they're going to be married till the day they die. They're so in love, you know, like it was almost sickening how in love they were. And now here they are, you know, 20 years later, they're divorced and they can't stand each other. And it just every time I, you know, it makes me sad. It's like, man, you know, they were so in love. But, you know, life changes people.
You know? And that's the evolution of our own characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you two were perfect in your 20s. But in your 30s, you're just different people.
Yep.
And if you're... And you should be. You should be a different person in your 30s than your 20s. You should grow and change and be a better version of yourself. But if you and the person you're with aren't evolving in the same way together, then you're going to change in ways that you drift apart.
Yep. And some people don't change for the better. Like, you know, like we all change. We all evolve. But some people don't evolve in a positive way. Like this couple I mentioned, like one of them really turned out to be a scumbag, you know, and it just makes me sad when I think 20 years ago what that person was, you know, like, but anywho, that's life, unfortunately. But anywho, did you have any geek news, Kev, that you want to throw out there?
Well, I don't believe it was out last time we talked, but the new Deadpool Wolverine trailer.
Yes. Yep. Looks good.
It looks so good.
Yep. I'm happy.
Now, I go to the Marvel movies with my kid. So when there's a new Marvel one, we got to plan it out. Okay, when do you want to see it? What day? You know, afternoon or night? You know, like there's a whole long discussion.
Yep.
On when we're going and everything. So he saw the trailer, and he's like, looks really good, Dad. I said, I know it looks really good. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, because there was part of me hoping it won't be that bad. I'm like, no, if it's rated R, because you can only drop an F-bomb once in a movie and keep it PG-13. Once you've said it more than once, it's now an R movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, maybe it's only R because they say it like two or three times. It was like five times within the first 10 seconds of the trailer. I'm like, well, that idea is gone.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right. Well, if it's language, I said, I think I'd be okay with language. If it's just a couple swear words there, but how's the violence? And then we see the violence. I'm like, well, I'm not quite sure about that. I'm like, well, how bad really is the swearing and violence going to be? Like, maybe the other dialogue won't be that bad. And then here's this giant long cocaine joke there. I'm like, jeez. And he's like, I want to see it so bad. I'm just like, I don't know. And the only compromise I gave, I was like, I will go see it and decide.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best way.
And then figure it out. But I'm just like, there is no way. But also, oh God, I don't know if I want him to miss seeing this too.
Yeah.
Because like, and at this point, I'm picturing, you know, when we were, you know, 12, 13 and HBO's got a free weekend or something like that. And the first thing you do is watch, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff you're not, that mom and dad don't want you to watch. So I don't know, but God, it looks incredible. Cassandra Nova, awesome. Giant Ant-Man head and body or whatever, awesome. There's obviously different versions of Wolverine in this, but we don't know what is what or the full story yet. The freaking in-jokes are incredible already. Did you see the name of the store in the background?
No, I missed that.
It's a shoe store called Liefeld's Feet.
Right, I heard about that. Yeah,
I was losing it. I'm like, nice. This movie's going to be an experience.
Yeah,
now, Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I only actually watched the trailer once because I want to go in as surprised as I can be. So that's why I kind of didn't catch some of the details because that was on purpose. I could not watch the trailer, but I only watched it the one time, and that's it before I go see the movie.
Yeah, my only other thought and possible issue is it doesn't look like a simple walk in and see the movie. Because, like, here we got references to all the Fox movies, the previous Deadpool movies, Loki, you know, MCU stuff. Like, and believe me, I'm big, I love having all these pop culture references. It's how I talk to people.
Yep.
My shorthand for conversation is, have you ever seen this movie? I felt similar to the character in this movie. Like, that's my shorthand for interacting with people.
Yep.
So I get it. But I'm picturing, like, my dad going to see this, being like, I was lost in this movie. And I feel like a lot of people are going to be.
Yeah.
I think it's just so much in-joke, it's going to be tough.
That is true. That could very well. I still think it'll do well, but yeah, it might hurt them a little bit. But we'll see.
I think it will be the highest grossing R-rated movie ever.
That's definitely a possibility. You know. Yeah. But anyway, speaking of movies. This is the last thing I've got. And it's not really news, but I just saw a trailer for it. So next month, they're re-releasing Star Wars Episode I, A Phantom Menace, because it's the 25th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
25 years. That just blows my mind. That was 25 years ago already. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I guess, yeah. It was before my kids. You know, I still remember, you know, because I mean, the original trilogy, I never actually watched in the theaters until they did the special editions in the mid-90s. So I never actually watched them as they were released. But The Phantom Menace, I went that opening weekend. I remember I went, it was like an early morning show, because at West Edmonton Mall, which at one time was the largest mall in the world, they, at the same time, like the same weekend, or maybe it was a week before, they opened the newest section of the mall. It's called Phase 4, and then that's where they put in the new movie theater. It was a Famous Players movie theater. It had like a big dragon thing, like a big dragon head that came down from the ceiling and actually blew fire. And like, it was a big animatronic. It was amazing. It's not there anymore. Cause it was too costly to maintain, but they, you know, for probably 10 years it was there. And yeah, it was an amazing movie experience. I remember when they opened that theater, that was opening weekend of Phantom Menace, and they had the theater open 24 hours a day for that weekend. And I went to like the Saturday morning. I want to say it was like 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. show, and my theater was packed. Like, I barely got a seat. And I just, you know, seeing that opening crawl, you know, John Williams score, that was the first Star Wars movie that was just released that was the first time I saw that in a theater, and I was just blown away. The Phantom Menace, it has some issues, so don't get me wrong. You know, like, even after all these years, I don't wish ill on Ahmed Best, but I was never a fan of Jar Jar. I still am not a fan of Jar Jar. I like Ahmed Best. I don't want to say any, you know, I don't think Jar Jar should have been killed or anything like that. You know, I really feel for the guy what he went through. But yeah, I still don't like that character very much. But, you know, so that's one of the reasons why I've, like, it's been years. Like, I want to say it's at least 15 years since I sat down and watched that movie. It might even be 20 years. So I think when it's re-released next month, I think I might actually go to the theater and watch it. Just to kind of recapture that magic 25 years later. And yeah, you know, it's just amazing how much has changed since that movie came out. I was 19 when that movie came out. And yeah, it was one of the most amazing theater experiences of my life. You know, seeing that brand new Star Wars movie for the first time on the big screen and in that theater, because that theater was amazing. I remember that was the first theater I ever went to where they had kiosks that you could actually buy food and take it into the movie with you. I'd never had that before. That was the first time I ever had that. I remember buying one of them personal, you know, pan pizzas from Pizza Hut. And that's what I took in with me instead of popcorn. And I remember thinking that was like the coolest thing. Like, it never happened before. now, you know, we kind of, you know, whatever. It's not a big deal. But yeah. So anyway, 25 years, Phantom Menace. But Kev, did you watch Phantom Menace when it came out in theaters?
Oh, Chris, that's a legendary story. So I went and bought two tickets like a week or so ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get the times wrong here, but let's just say, like, there was one showing at 8, there was one showing at 8:20. I had tickets for the 8:20 show.
Okay.
I go in there, and they're like, this theater's full. I go, well, it's not full. I have tickets. And they said, well, some people showed up late for the 8 o'clock show. They went into the 8:20. Like, and?
Yeah.
And the theater was just overwhelmed, not enough people. So they're like, well, you can go into the 8. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So I go into the 8 where there's seats left because these are the people who took my seat for what I wanted. And I'd missed, like, the first 5-10 minutes of it.
Oh, okay.
And I was so mad. And honestly, you know, I'm not the Star Wars apologist I used to be. But there's some stuff I'm like, well, that's okay. But I've had all this, you know, built up anticipation here, and it's not meeting my expectations.
Yeah.
But what could have, you know? Mm-hmm. A few, God, I can't remember how many years ago, I know they re-released it in 3D.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I want to say it was before The Force Awakens came out. Like, was it 10 years ago?
Maybe. I wanted to say it was like right. No, that couldn't have been. You know what? I think it was right before Disney bought Star Wars.
Yeah, I want to say it was,
because I feel like they were going to re-release all of them in 3D, mm-hmm. and then when Disney bought Star Wars, that plan went away.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and saw it again, and now I'm watching it. I'm not watching it with years of anticipation. I'm not watching it for here's what I think should happen, or expect. I'm just watching a movie for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it more then than ever before. And it's still not perfect or anything, but I was watching it as if myself watching, like, New Hope or Empire or Jedi as a kid. I'm just watching it as a kid. Can I pick apart the plot? Sure I can. I can pick apart the plot for 4, 5, and 6 too, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, because I loved it when I was a kid. You know, He-Man doesn't hold up. You know, G.I. Joe, like Transformers, your stuff when you're a kid is not going to hold up as an adult. So I'm watching, you know, I'm watching Phantom Menace with a kid mindset in 3D. And it's a freaking blast for that. And there's part of me, I'm like, because I did sit down with my kid to watch it a while ago. And he's like, oh, that was cool, but he didn't get into it enough they wanted to continue. So there's part of me, especially if it's at, there's a theater about 20 minutes away that he really likes, because just the speakers and everything for it. There's part of me, I'm like, I wonder if I could drag him out for this. If he would have any interest and have fun with it. Like, I might try to float this idea and just be like, you need to see Star Wars on the big screen, bud. I think, and seeing him watch it, I think I would get an extra level of joy out of it.
Yeah.
But all that said, I don't know that I want to see episode 2 on a big screen and spend that money.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, like I said, Phantom Menace, I think, has a special place in my heart because, like I said, you know, it was the first one I saw in theaters. It was, 16 years after Return of the Jedi. You know, there's all this hype. Like, we forget, like prior to Phantom Menace, like, there was people lined up to see that movie months ahead of time. You know, like, I remember people being camped out outside theaters, like, in March, waiting for, you know, the Phantom Menace to premiere.
Oh, it's this weekend.
Oh, it comes out this weekend?
Yeah, I have Friday, May 3rd.
Right. I keep forgetting it's going to be May here this week.
Yeah.
But, anywho. Yeah, no, I'm definitely.
Let me screenshot and save this idea here.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be out for a while, though, isn't it? Or is it just the weekend?
The listing I have is Friday, May 3rd through Thursday, May 9th, just the 1 week.
Ooh, I might have to go. Yeah. Might have to make a trip into the city to watch it then. But anywho, I'll check it out when we're done here. But yeah, definitely. Phantom Menace has a special place in my heart. Attack of the Clones, not so much. Although, like, even, you know, I am an apologist with its sequel trilogy, and I think it's because the prequel, or the, sorry, I'm an apologist for the prequel trilogy, because the sequel trilogy sucked so bad. You know, made me appreciate the prequels so much more. But, you know, I really wish George Lucas would have just got a little bit more help than he had. Because like I said, you know, the guy he has a hard time with dialogue. He can't write comedy. I really think that's what he was going for with Jar Jar. And he can't write romance. Because Attack of the Clones, it didn't work. Like, he needed some help. He needed somebody that had a grasp on romance and comedy and dialogue helping him, which I don't think he had. But anyway, I digress. Did you have anything else, Kev, before we move on?
For news? No, I actually write a list ahead of time.
Excellent.
We're all good there.
All right, well, let's move on to our brain candy segment. So for this segment, we talk about things that we've been feeding our brain with, whether it's TV, movies, books, podcasts, whatever. And we can make it a pick or a pan if we want. I kind of started watching a show, I think it came out a few years ago. It's called The Center Seat, 55 Years of Star Trek. So it's, this documentary about different aspects of Star Trek. I got through the first couple episodes. And it's hosted by Gates McFadden, and I mean, they have some Star Trek people doing interviews and quotes and people that are related to Star Trek, like Larry Nemechek. He's on there. I had him on Trek 171 years ago. And honestly, I'm like, these documentaries don't really tell me anything I don't already know. They don't really unearth anything new or groundbreaking. The first episode, they focused way too much on Lucille Ball. For those who don't know, Lucille Ball's company, Desilu, was the company that bought Star Trek, that produced it. They got it got it going. When NBC rejected the first pilot, it was Lucille Ball herself that greenlit a second pilot, which was kind of unheard of back in those days. So they did this, you know, they took the notes that NBC gave them and did the second pilot, and the rest is history. But the first episode, for a big chunk of it, they focused on her. And, you know, it's interesting, but I think, you know, do a Lucille Ball documentary. Like, I don't know. Like I said, you know, they didn't really tell me anything I don't already know. So if you, I guess, don't have, like, a intimate knowledge of Star Trek and Star Trek history, you might find this interesting. You know, like, I think a lot of people that aren't Star Trek fans like myself may not have known that Lucille Ball from I Love Lucy had anything to do with Star Trek, but she did. But for me, it's like, I've seen and heard this all before. So I give it a, if you don't know about Star Trek, check it out. If you're a diehard like me, I think you might find it repetitive. I already mentioned that we're watching Young Sheldon, so that's going on. The Stanley Cup playoffs are happening. My Edmonton Oilers had an awesome game last night. So, you know, they've won 3 games. You know, to win the Stanley Cup, you have to win 16 games. So they have 13 more games to win. So, fingers crossed. Let's see. You know, hopefully that happens. I've also been watching Afterlife. It's a show on Netflix with Ricky Gervais. And again, I've seen clips of this on Facebook and YouTube, and so I finally decided to just check the show out, and it's really good. So it's like a dramedy, where the lead character, his wife, dies of cancer, and essentially he becomes suicidal. But yet, at the same time, he's kind of learning to live again. Ricky Gervais, you know, is just spot on with this character, and yeah, I'm only halfway through season one. I think there's 3 seasons, so, but you know, definitely worth watching for sure. Kev, what do you got this week for Brain Candy?
All right, I have. Let's see, where do I start with it? I believe it's done. I don't recall hearing a thing for the next episode. But there was a season of Dark Side of the Ring going on. Mm. Your usual, you know, sad wrestling stories. Couple of them I didn't know the stories. I actually learned a lot. Some of the stuff I knew, and a lot of it I didn't know how bad it was. You know, so those are always interesting. WWE has a new show on Roku called Next Gen, and to very much simplify it, the idea is they invited all these collegiate level athletes to a tryout training camp thing, and some of them are still in college in various sports, wrestling, gymnastics, football, whatever. Some of them are ones that, you know, they left college, and what do you do, you know, unless you're picked up by like NFL, NBA, something like that after college, there's no pro options for you. There's no like pro gymnastics, you know, there's no pro track and field. So it's like, all right, you are an elite athlete, but you got nowhere to go. So why don't you come try out and let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So they invite a bunch of them to try out. And I mean, these people, like, they have them going through the whole thing. Like, who can jump the furthest? Who can jump the highest? Who's got the best time for sprints? You know, for all sorts of stuff. And in absolutely incredible athletes. But then the next day, it's like, okay, who can talk? You got 1 minute. Tell us who you are. And some of these that are, you know, just like freaks of nature, God-given athletic talent, can't put two words together.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them that's like, okay, you're obviously athletic, or else you wouldn't have been invited.
but you're not that good compared to some of the other ones, are knocking it out of the park for being able to speak. So if you got someone that scores, you know, 100 in one thing and zero on the other, they're probably not going to make it. But if you got someone that scores 50 on both, they got a better shot. It was just, it's very interesting how they make their decision. It's the most real one I've seen. Like, granted, there's people that are hamming it up and are just being caricatures, but I get it. That's any reality show, and anytime people have cameras put on them. But it feels like the most real thing, not like your wrestling cartoon characters and over the top stuff. It's just like, there are two things you need to do well if you want to have a job here. So let's see if you can do it. And it just feels very honest in a way. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to, I think it's about 6 or 8 episodes. I'll probably continue with that. I went to the theaters with some friends and saw Abigail, which is a new horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ballerina vampire girl.
Oh, I seen a trailer for that.
Oh, just ridiculous, over the top, but fun.
Yep.
How do I word this? The characters are fall into tropes. There's certain things that you expect, and certain things it's like, okay, you're playing this type of character, you're playing this type of character. But there were multiple scenes in the movie where I'm like, all right, I thought you were going left, and you went right. Good job. Like, they would purposely make you think everything's going this direction, then take a turn, but they made sense. They didn't just do it to mess with the audience. It still flowed with the story. You're like, oh, my expectations were over here, but you were purposely trying to make me think that's what's going to happen. Then this other thing happened, but it was there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't make it up out of nowhere just to fool the audience. It still flowed with the story. And it's just dumb gore fun, but not like it's over the top. It's not gross. I have my limit for horror movies. This was just fun. So, you know, when it's on streaming or if anyone's bored for, you know, a theater trip or whatever, it was fun. Harmless overall, you know, the blood's over the top. So it's not even like, oh my God, oh, I'm going to have nightmares. It's just over the top for it. So I had a blast for that. And then it did not take my kid for that one.
No.
But what we did watch is the Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2 direct-to-DVD came out. I didn't even know it was out. I was just randomly thinking, oh, geez, did they announce a date for it? And I was looking it up on a Saturday and found out it was coming out on Tuesday. I was like, oh, yeah. I have to make sure I find this. And then we watched it the next time we were together.
Yeah.
It's very much a part two of three. It is very, like, the movie does not stand well on its own. Because there's so much of it that's, okay, this person needs to be over here, this thing needs to happen, this thing needs to happen, we need to introduce this. It's so much of getting everything set up for part three. So on its own, it's not a great movie on its own. As part of a trilogy, which is what they're doing, and they haven't announced when part three is coming out, I would assume by Christmas. It's okay. There are some things where I'm like, ooh, we're doing that. I know that will be expanded on. Oh, I think this is a tease for something more. Like, it's enjoyable, but it's going to be much more enjoyable when all three are out.
Yeah, I still have to check the first one, because when you talked about the first one, it definitely got me interested. And then, yeah, I got sidetracked. So,
yeah. And the first one's great because, it, for the most part, that first one can stand alone.
Okay.
And then it's like, oh, no, we thought this thing was over. It turns out it's not. And then here we go to 2 and 3. So the first one holds up better as its own movie. I will say for the second one, because it's this new Tomorrowverse of DC, Batman ties in, but not in a way that if you didn't watch any of the other movies, you're not missing anything for Batman. Supergirl story, though, because there's a Supergirl Legion movie that's part of this whole Tomorrowverse.
Okay.
You wouldn't have needed to see it, but it does help with Supergirl's character. Supergirl's character is very interesting in the movie. And I was really enjoying her arc for it. But I'm aware Supergirl has an arc in the Crisis story. You know, the original story from 85, 86, whenever.
Yeah.
Supergirl's a big part of it, which is why I was also shocked. I'm like, Flash is in this movie for like 2 minutes. And you kind of need Flash in the Crisis story.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious what's going to happen with part three. And I kind of think, and I'll probably suggest it, when part three's out, I think we'll sit down and rewatch one and two before three. We'll just make a whole day of it and have everything fresh in our minds for it. Some of the, now the rumors are, because it's a Crisis on Infinite Earth, the rumors have been of certain previous cartoons and incarnations and variants of these characters will show up for the final battle. There's a couple of little things in two that's like, oh, you're here already. That's interesting. You know, so when are you going to be back? You're already here. You know, how did that happen? So I'm going to be curious for it. So yeah, loads of fun for it, though.
Excellent. All right. Well, I think we can call this an episode, but let's play that game of where can we find you? For myself, this Saturday, I'm going to be emceeing a space tribute concert called Across the Stars in Edmonton on May the 4th. It's going to be at the Robertson Wesley United Church, and it's the Mill Creek... Mill Creek Collier Band? I'm sorry if I butchered that. The Mill Creek Collier Band. Across the Stars, a space tribute concert. Saturday, May the 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the Robertson Wesley United Church. I guarantee I'm going to know how to say that before the concert, because I'm actually meeting with them just before the concert. So, but yeah, Stephanie, one of my co-hosts from Trek 1701, the beta crew episodes, she's in this band, she's putting this concert together, and she asked me if I would MC, so I was like, yeah, absolutely, sign me up. Where can we find you, sir?
All right, you can find me, I'm still on most of the social medias, at Hellions Team, and the Hellions Team is my home blog, and whatever else I will do next.
Excellent. All right, well, I think we can call this an episode. So on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and my co-host, Kevin Decent, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to Geek Fallout Reloaded. This was the news and discussion podcast for geeks by geeks, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future. You take a mortal man.